Hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast focused on spiritual warfare. I'm Steve Hemphill, and Battle Plan is an ongoing discussion of how we put our faith into action. Our website is active-faith.org, and my email is stevehemphill1@me.com. I'd love to hear from you and hear your story. Today, I've got two guests. I've never done two guests at the same time before, but these two guys, Nate and Chris, are working together on something called the religion business. Now, I'm going to introduce them with a Bible verse, and they're got some very interesting things to talk about today. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 in the New Living Translation talks about the dangers of the last days. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. And this is the scary verse. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. And let me just say, as we start this discussion about the religion business with Nate and Chris, there are wolves among the sheep, and this verse is one of the verses that warns us of that, and this is a sign of the last days, and you guys are in the business sort of kind of unveiling some of that. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Chris is my business partner in this venture. And, I'm a 22 year, you know, veteran in the film industry, worked in TV and I've been a Christian my whole life, raised in kind of a big mega church in Los Angeles. And I just started questioning the system. I traveled the world for about two decades working on travel TV, and I'd always go to smaller churches and seminaries, whether that be in the favelas in Brazil or, Catholic churches in England, or mountain churches in Honduras, in the back mountains in Honduras. And I'd always come back to the States and just, it's made me start questioning this mega church model. And, as I asked a few simple questions, no one would answer the questions, you know, that you'd either be scoffed at. And most of those questions had to do with, hey, you know, where are we allocating this money? Or, you know, what's our oversight on the money?
There's a big red flag when they won't answer the questions.
Yeah. And so that, you know, that was almost 15 years ago. And then about 12 years ago, I decided to do something about it. And I shot the religion business. I went out and filmed. I was 28 years old and I filmed the show. And I filmed a documentary, and it was going to be about a 2-hour documentary. And when I was watching the edit, I just didn't really think it was ready. It was kind of me ranting about the problem, for lack of a better term, without doing much of a deep dive. Yeah. So we just shelved it. Flash forward 8 years. I became a father. I just never stopped doing research. I finally, for the first time in my life, did a pass cover to cover through the Bible, you know? And yeah. I was like, wow, this is a different book than what I was taught, you know, flash forward 8 years. And I've done, you know, 5 passes through now. I'm well-versed in the Apocrypha and the Didache and all the literature that's, you know, those early apostolic literature.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then I decided, okay, I'm going to pick it up again. I feel like I have my faith. My faith is really my own for my first time. And
grounded.
I made a few calls.
You're grounded.
Yeah. And we started filming 3 years ago, and we've been filming nonstop for 3 years. And I personally believe I always use the analogy of breadcrumbs. You know, when I was 28, I wasn't mentally or emotionally or spiritually ready to make this show. And today I am. And God just kept putting breadcrumbs for 12 years. And
yeah.
Chris was a massive breadcrumb about 2 years ago. And flash forward, I've sat with former, you know, one of the lead lawyers that oversaw the nonprofit sector in the U.S. I've sat down with theoretical physicists at Oxford. I've sat down with philosophers that studied under C.S. Lewis at Oxford. I've, you know, sat down with, theologians and hermeneutics professors. And so it's just, the religion business is this dynamic global snapshot of the nonprofit sector, but then in particular, religious exemptions, because the religious exemptions in the US are a double-edged sword. There's benefits from it, but then huge consequences. And the consequences is it's created a massive opportunity for wolves to come in and feed off sheep.
That's a very interesting thing. Let me throw out now. I think this is right. Aren't you putting some snippets onto some social media platforms?
Yep. So the religion,
where people can find out some of those and where they can view those.
Yeah. Chris could give you a good rollout on where to look, and then what we're launching Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Absolutely. Nate, thanks, man. And it's an honor to be on this journey with you, bro. And Steve, thanks for hosting us and such. Oh, really appreciate it, man. I've enjoyed getting to know you, bro. Really appreciate it.
Same here.
So our main social media platform is Instagram, and that's at The Religion Business. Or if you just type in the search bar of The Religion Business, it'll pop up. And we've got our teaser trailer for the show that will be launching after this is released, right? Which would be Thanksgiving Day, but you'll be releasing it before our actual trailer release, which is Christmas Day. I'm going to tie something into what you were talking about earlier, Steve, but the reality of it all is Nathan and I are doing this to make an impact. This is much larger than us. This is a very big project. Like, I'm a serial entrepreneur, prior military. I know the capital markets really, really well. There is a much easier path to business than going into this one. This is something where, when I was listening to your scripture, you're talking about some real heavy stuff, brother. You really were, man. And and Nathan and I operate in what we call the arena, inspired by the Teddy Roosevelt quote. And to be in the arena, you can't have one foot in.
Yeah.
You got to have both feet in, and you have to be engaged. You have to be engaged. And, you know, I felt called to step into this arena and give it all that I have. And, it, you know, when you stop relying so much on man and you start talking about our daily bread and the breadcrumbs that come through and everything, like, God's good, man. God's really, really good. And I'm excited to take this on with Nathan, bring some light into an area where there's been a lot of darkness, and allow the people, you know, to make a decision, right? Do they want to be in the arena or do they not? And that's a choice everyone gets to make. But I think anyone who watches it, especially with an open mind, will quickly realize, wow, humans will human.
I love your all-in comment, because I think nothing could be a stronger witness for that. You know, God doesn't take halfway Christians. You can't be baptized and hold your billfold out of the water. You know, it's all or nothing with God. And it sounds like both of you feel like this isn't just a project. It's more of a calling. Is that right?
100%.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. I feel like God, I would say God's, when I look at my life, every situation that I either got myself into or was put in has driven me to this moment. And yeah. I think it's, yeah, that's, you know, a calling 100%.
Well, I feel the same way on his spiritual warfare ministry. I mean, you know, for such a time as this is what we're made. And I think with the way everybody's mad at each other, the social media bickering, the political bickering, the lies among, we used to could trust our news outlets of any brand. Now I don't really trust hardly any brand. You have to really research and make sure. So I commend you guys for going this route, because it sounds like, I mean, I know you could put your money and time into something that would be more profitable if you're just looking for profit. But if you're looking for a calling, you'll never be happier than where God wants you to be. And it sounds like that's where you guys are headed. What else can you tell us about the plans of the film and what the schedule looks like on that?
Nate, real quick, before you dive into that, I want to say one thing about the work Nathan's done. I mean, anyone can make a docuseries and talk about issues and such, but what Nathan's done with reading hundreds of books, interviewing probably well over 500 people at this point, having very deep dive discussions. Every single time Nathan gets one of those like light bulb aha moments where someone tells him something,
yeah,
he goes down that rabbit hole, does a lot of due diligence, does a lot of research, and you'll see that play out in the docuseries because, you know, we're citing our things. These aren't blind statements being made out there and such. And so I think that's a very important thing for the viewers to know, to prepare to go into this with that open mind. This is a very educational, shocking series that's coming to you.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. So what started as a 2-hour documentary, because documentaries are my wheelhouse, you know, single movies are my wheelhouse. Probably a year ago, we were in edit and we had the first laydown of the show and it was 5 hours long. And so I called my mentor and I was like, hey, his name's Ira. I'm like, Ira, like, what do I do? And he goes, well, is it good? And I'm like, every second of it's gold. And he goes, turn it into a series. Don't throw any of it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we're clipping close to 8.5 hours. and hopefully it'll probably max out at 9 hours. And so it's a 7-part docuseries. You know, there's symbolism behind that number. We're going to try to get every episode down to around an hour. We're still filming. The show's going to release Easter Day. And so Easter 2025. And okay. We'll be dropping one episode a week. And yeah, it's a 9-hour, really entertaining, really educational, and really uplifting, I will say, show, because there's three main storylines. And Chris, I gotta tell you more about the church service I went to yesterday because it's so ironic. But there's three main storylines in the show. The first is history. So we're unpacking really the oldest business model in the world, which is religion, and not only religion, but Christianity in particular. And so we go back to Christ on earth, but you have to go all the way back to Melchizedek actually to understand how Christianity is funded. And there's a lot of misunderstanding of Melchizedek. There's a lot of misunderstanding of the Mosaic covenants. There's a lot of misunderstanding of Jesus and what he said. And then there's a lot of misunderstanding or misinterpretation of Paul in a lot of his letters. And so we have multiple historians. We have Jewish historians, Christian historians. We have educators that speak, you know, Greek, ancient Aramaic, Hebrew, and they walk you through this story and all the way to present day. So you learn all about these milestones in history. You learn about, you dive down into, I don't know if you've ever heard of Carl Truman. He's a Reformation thought expert. He wrote a book called The Triumph of the Modern Self. Brilliant, brilliant man. He talks you through Martin Luther and the Reformation and really what was happening at that time. You learn about the 1913 income tax. You learn about what was happening in the 1960s and 70s at a federal level. And then, the founding of the ECFA, you learn all these big milestones to where when you look at a Joel Osteen or a Creflo Dollar, and then you look at your mom and pop Methodist or Baptist church, you understand it all. And you say, I understand how you can have $100 million operation set up alongside a $10,000 church, you know, annually. You could see it all. And so that's one of the main three storylines. The second is investigation. I've had a team of PIs and we've had a team of PIs, private investigators working with us for almost 2 years. And we have multiple open investigations on what I would call not the worst players, but the most egregious players. And the reason why I don't want to use the word worst is because they're playing in the legal sandbox that is religious exemptions in the US. And so what I mean by that is a Joel Osteen or a Creflo Dollar or a Kenneth Copeland usually can legally justify their actions. The kicker though is it moral? And as the arbiter of Jesus or of Christianity, and as the face of Christianity, like Joel Osteen says, I am a model of Jesus. It's like, whoa, that's a bold statement to make if you're, throwing around $100 million a year without any accountability.
Yeah.
And so we don't even paint them as bad. We say, hey, they're just a byproduct of the religious institutional system, just like I am, just like you are, Steve, just like Chris is. But so we have a handful of major investigations. And to Chris's point, we are not taking this story lightly. So in the lower corner of every story where we're citing evidence, you'll be able to go right to our website and pull up that doc, those, that documentation. Cause we want, we're putting together a bulletproof argument here. And then of course the third storyline is the fun one. And this is where it's an uplifting journey. We show people doing the work and mirroring Christ and creating real impact. And the goal is to say, hey, if we actually were, if there was more people out there doing this, we could, the Christian church, not just the nonprofit sector, but just the Christian church alone could radically transform the world and be the light of the world tomorrow.
Amen.
And so,
amen.
So that's the presentation of the show. And it is not that. It's not a small undertaking, but you will leave, because a lot of people think we're attacking religion and faith, and you will leave saying, man, these guys actually encourage faith. They love Christ and who he is, and they love generosity and encourage generosity, but they're encouraging generosity from what a development economist in the show calls being a shrewd Samaritan. You got to be shrewd in your giving. Yeah. You don't just give it away haphazardly.
Wise as serpents, but gentle as doves.
Yep.
Yeah.
My dad also taught me to, chew up the meat and spit out the bones. A lot of times we've been chewing up the bones along with it. Okay. So can you tell us the website now, or is that to be announced later?
So the website is just thereligionbusiness.com. Okay. You can, we don't drive many people there. You will want to go there when the show releases.
Gotcha.
Because what we're presenting right now is only half of what Chris and I and our teams, our brilliant, brilliant teams have been building. So over the last 12 years, I got to understand the architecture here in the US, the oversight architecture of the nonprofit sector.
Sure.
And I realized, man, there's some really simple, you got to be creative in it, but simple ways to close a lot of these loopholes that's non-governmental. So the government stays out of religion, but there's easy ways to close these loopholes. I just needed a partner who could help me do it. And that's where Chris was a literal, when I say breadcrumb, he was like 12 loaves of bread lined up. I gorged. So that is what I think most excited about, because the show, I think, will create a national conversation. And then where we've been building a tech tool quietly in the back, that's a free tech tool for donors to use, for congregants to use, for churches and secular nonprofits to use. And it just drives a stake of accountability right through the whole system. And we're not going to tell exactly how we did it, but every single church and nonprofit in America, whether they want to be or not, is in this system. And so it's game theory. You got to play. Yeah. And the more honest and accountable you are, the more rewards you get, the more donors you get put in front of you, the more congregants you get put in front of you. So I'll let Chris take over that. But yeah,
I love your idea of putting that stake in there, because we deal with stakes all the time. That's what we're doing.
Okay. Exactly.
Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I think when you look at the center of the issues, I like to paint a picture with a real world story of people who play in the space of, philanthropy, the people who play in the space of global healing and attacking social causes. A lot of these development economists, there was one that worked for the UN. And in 2021, on then Twitter, prior to Elon Musk's purchase of what's now X, calls out Elon and says, hey, man, for $6 billion, you can solve world hunger. And Elon's like, great. Please articulate to me on the thread how we're going to do that for $6 billion. I'll sell Tesla stock tomorrow and fund it on one condition: open source accounting for the public to see. We're humans. Humans will human. I need accountability. Nathan needs accountability. Steve, you need accountability for us to be. We're humans. We're going to be tempted by greed. This concept of morality versus law. I'm going to hide behind the law. But deep down inside, is it moral? Well, who is the arbiter of morality? Is it scripture? Is it the people? Is it the interpretation of the script? Like, what is that? Who is that arbiter, right? This is the kind of thing that I want people to start thinking about. And so we wanted to put together a platform, as Nathan was talking about, where who best to know what the loopholes are than the two-time Emmy-winning filmmaker right here, who's been doing all the research and doing the work and identifying, following the dollar, following the trail, the rabbit hole, and figuring all this out. So we saw some pretty basic things where all this fraud, waste, abuse, and inurement happens, these loopholes. So created a software platform. It's called Broken Shepherds. It's going to be ready for beta testing by Christmas time.
This is a tool that will result from all the research that will actually benefit churches all over the world.
Yes.
And wait a minute, you didn't tell me if Elon Musk got, if the guy said yes or no to Elon Musk, I have to know the answer to
Clearly said no. Clearly the conversation ended. Because why? Oh, shoot. People are going to know how much money actually goes to feed the mouths of those with food insecurity.
And how much goes to the directors just for sitting back and running things.
And then how many times are you going to get called out by one of the most powerful men in the world publicly, hey, what's this like slush fund here that you can't tell where any of the money goes, right?
Right.
You know, there's specific questions, right? Because you deep dive into, Nathan's talked about this several times on several podcasts where, you know, on the religious entity side, you'll often see this ministry fund. Well, that's just a slush fund where a lot of people are baking their jets into, and they're baking, you know, the second and third homes. This is all part of ministry, right?
Yeah.
And again, it's justifying it by hiding behind the law, not morality, because morality is light, right? Like, you're going to walk in the light if you're operating in a world of morality.
Amen.
And so at the end of the day, solving global social issues will not happen if there's not accountability and transparency. So we had to make a system that put that in there and reward the nonprofits who are directly in the driver's seat, the 1.9 million nonprofits here in the United States of America, directly in the driver's seat, to provide data that we are asking that will paint an appropriate picture of, are we being transparent or not? Nathan and I aren't saying we're the arbiters of salaries need to be X percent. You know, every single industry is different. I mean, when you talk about, like, in the human trafficking world, the amount of resources that they have to spend to extract victims and some of the things that they do, not everything is it 94% goes to mission? Is it, right. Is it 6%? What is that right number? Every scenario is differently, but educating and getting the donors involved, like, it's an investment.
Yeah.
They're going to see an ROI, that, like, social capital, good feeling that they're a part of actually solving something. And so when we bring the accountability in the system and they feed the machine, what is your revenue, your expenses? What is your, you know, if you're a secular nonprofit, upload your 990, you know, there's great verification there. Let's see a P&L. Let's see your balance sheet. Let's see the top people's salaries. Let's see where the money's going. And as you feed that, and again, we're not the arbiter of percentages, your score rises. And if your score rises, people are going to say, you know what? This is an honest group.
Yeah.
And they get to make the educated decision on where they want to put their money. And it's a donation facilitator, as well as the ability for, call it a volunteer portal, where volunteer opportunities come up and people can engage in their local communities. And really, we're like, let's bring it back to the whole intention of this. Nathan explains this really well, but the whole concept of this tax exemption side of things from 1913 was about bringing local social capital, right?
Yeah.
You know, let's get back to bringing local social capital and taking care of it.
I love that. And I love how y'all are being so practical with ways it'll help change things better for the future. I love the accounting side of it, and I love the accountability side of it. Okay, as I start to wind down our podcast here, tell us where you plan to distribute this. Where people can find it once it comes out?
Yeah, so I produce with Amazon, so, like, that's our lowest hanging fruit goal. But we're really our benchmark goal is 200 million views in the first 3 months. And the reason why we pin that number is because that number, if we can get 200 million people around the world talking about the subject, especially over Easter and over that next month, what will happen is it will create a national dialogue, which will demand conversation from a governmental level around the world. And that's all we want to do, is we want to start the conversation And then it basically empower, we want democracy in religion. We want to empower the donor, empower the congregant to say, hey, I have an opinion and I want my opinion heard. And yeah. if you want my money, things need to be accountable. And that's, yeah. So it'll be on odds are it'll be on Amazon, but we're partnering with some amazing individuals who are opening all of Hollywood and all of, let's call them non-traditional media outlets to us. And so the sky's the limit. Basically we have 4.5 months to put these ducks in a row. So yeah. it'll be also, everywhere though. It'll be everywhere.
Okay. Okay. People can also visit your website and you'll have links to other places.
Oh yeah. 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 Any distribution outlet that we will be on when the show launches, if you go to the religionbusiness.com, you could just Netflix, boom, Amazon, boom, X, boom. You could just go wherever and find it.
Good. Well, thank you guys today for taking the time to come on the Miracle Plan. Thank you for the work you're doing for the kingdom, the things you're exposing, helping to expose wolves among the sheep, because we do have that problem. We had the verse that showed that. And also, we're just going to remind all our viewers to keep praying, because prayer works. Remember, Amen. We love you and God love you. Have a great Amen. Day.
Thank you, Steve.